If you need a Bible this morning, there's one in the back. Feel free to grab one. We are in Titus. We're moving over to chapter 3. We're starting to close it out. Remember what Titus is all about. The heart of Titus is sound doctrine. It really is our foundation in which everything is built. And it's really sad that today we don't consider the Bible and the Word of God as we should. We need to really get serious about that, because it is really the foundation, the essence of everything we do. It really is the compass that we follow, the light that lamps or lights our way. It's God's Word that will not return void. He is not slack concerning His promises, even though sometimes we feel like He is. In the perfect timing, His Word does come true. He knows exactly what we need. Sometimes the Word of God doesn't feel very comforting to us, because it's there for correction. It's there for instruction. And it's there for us to know right and wrong. Even if we're going down that wrong path, we need to look at it and go, oh, I need to correct. And so as we come to chapter 3, we're going to see that we need to take everything from chapter 1, everything from chapter 2, and now apply it. That's really what it's talking about in chapter 3. It says, now that you have the elders established, now that you have the bishop established, and you're correcting and you're using the Word of God in your church, and you personally apply the sound doctrine, which is so vital to us, in chapter 3. Very important for us to understand. And we have to really hear this. And this can become difficult, because now it's time for application. It's always good in theory, isn't it? But then when we put something to practice, it becomes very hard. And all of a sudden now, well, I don't agree with that. It becomes a challenge for us. And so let's look at the first two verses of chapter 3 and see what Titus or Timothy or Paul is telling us today. I'll get through the right one eventually. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. So Paul is now going to close this letter, and it says, okay, here's the facts. Here's what you should do. Here's what the church needs to be focused on. Now go do it. What does this mean to be subject to rulers and authorities? A lot of times we have trouble with this verse. And it's causes a lot of people to say, well, what if we don't agree with the rulers and the subjects, the authorities, I should say. What if we don't agree with whoever's in charge? See, we have to remind ourselves this. Yes, in our type of government, we have to participate. If we don't say who we want as our leaders, then it's very hard for us to judge them. But let me tell you, even though you vote for A, B might get elected. What do you do with B? Especially if you don't agree with them. And this is very neutral, by the way, because everybody is either for A or for B. So it doesn't matter. We do our part, but if it doesn't come out the way we want it to, we must remember one thing. The Bible is very clear that God puts the leadership in place. Now, that's not an excuse for us not to do anything, because I heard a lot of Christians go, well, God's going to put whoever He's going to put in there. So therefore, why even cast my vote? That's not right either. That's like saying, well, God's already saved you, so you might as well just sit on the couch and wait to die. No, we're called to be participants in this world. We're called to be light. We're called to be salt. We're called to be a representative of the kingdom of God here on the kingdom of earth. But if God chooses to put somebody in charge, such as a pilot, understand that he has put that person there by divine appointment. You see, if Pilate wasn't in place, who knows if the crucifixion of Jesus would have happened? The Bible tells us that. That he divinely appointed Pilate, who we would look at as a wicked ruler. How could God put a wicked man in power? Well, he had a purpose for it. And so we must understand that. How could God allow somebody like Hitler to be put into power? He allowed that to happen. How could God, at this time, allow Nero, who, by the way, was more wicked than anybody we read about, anybody who we have even experienced, we may think so-and-so president was so bad and wicked, nothing compared to Nero. He literally let Christians on fire in his garden. So when you think you have it bad, at least you're not being burnt alive. Speaking of Nero, how dare Paul tell Titus to be subject to his authority? Whew. That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it, gang? Here's what I say. When we look at what Titus is telling us, he is telling us, don't respond to the rulers and the authorities because of who they are. That's the most important thing to get out of this. Because it's like our marriage. We don't respond to our spouses because of who they are or what they've done. We respond to them because God has told us to act a certain way towards them. You see, our calling is unto God. And when we look at the authorities and the rulers, we are called to obey them, not because of who they are, but because God tells us to, right here in chapter 3, verse 1. And why is that important? Because this whole letter has been built on what? Sound doctrine. And if I am to represent God to a world, I must do what? Follow what the Bible says. If I speak one thing but live differently, I am no better than the false teachers. Because I am saying, this is what God says, but yet I don't believe it. Why don't I believe it? Because I'm not obeying it. Are you mean to tell me that I am to obey the rulers and the authorities? Yeah. But what if I don't agree with them? I guess you need to take that up with God. But I know what you're going to say. Well, what if they tell me to do something that violates God's word? Because that's where we always go to, right? And I love how we instantly jump to that conclusion as if that justifies us not believing and obeying everything else up to that point. And it's very clear in God's word that if your spouse is telling you to do something opposite of God's word, you are to obey what? God. We have clear examples with Daniel under Nebuchadnezzar. Bow down and worship this idol. Is that a violation of God's word? Yeah. So did Daniel do it? No. So you see, you got to understand the difference between following what the rulers and the authorities say, up to a point to when it now violates God's word. And there is a dividing line there. But here's what I'm saying. We don't want to obey what they say the whole time. People say, I'm not going to pay my taxes because I don't agree with what the government does with my tax money. Is that a violation of God's word? Yeah, because it says render under Caesar, that is which is Caesar's. Pay your taxes. Did Jesus pay his taxes? Yeah. He did. And there's been a lot of Christians who, in my opinion, have misrepresented the word of God by saying, I'm not going to pay my taxes because I don't believe in what they're using my taxes for. You see, we can't control that. You're going to elect an official, even if you think it's the official you like, and he goes and he does something that you don't like, you can't control him, can you? So we don't respond to that. But we respond to what God is telling us. And he says, remind them to be subjects, to obey the rulers and the authorities. Understanding that if they're telling me to do something that violates the word of God, I'm not going to do that. Okay? You know, you might say, oh, speaking of taxes, great. They take my tax money and they use it to fund Planned Parenthood, which funds abortions, therefore I'm not going to pay my taxes. Therefore, I followed God's word. The point is you can't dictate. Just like to the church, I'm going to give my tithe to the church, but you know what? If I find out that Bill's buying coffee with my tithe, I'm not going to tithe no more because that's not biblical. What if you've tithed to a false teacher? You see, if you tithe with the intention and the right heart, God looks at that. What the person does with the money, that's upon them. Right? So if you've ever tithed to a false teacher and they've used the money to put gas in their jet because, you know, they had some ministry to do on the beach of Hawaii, and you're like, oh, God's going to say, no, 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 no. You see, unto a good heart, you did what you were supposed to do. What they did with that money, oh, I'm going to deal with them on that. You guys see the difference? So why is it important for us to do what God says here? Because how can we follow the word of God? How can we follow what God says? And Jesus says, by the way, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So I don't believe in keeping the law unto salvation. I believe in keeping the law unto love. Yeah? And so if I say, hey, follow God, follow me an example, but yet I ain't going to follow the rules, I am a hypocrite. And I am disqualifying myself. And I am undermining the ministry. I am undermining the word of God. So you know what? I'm going to tell you something. As Christians, as professing Christians, you should follow the rules. And this is hard. This is hard. This means, should you drive the speed limit? Why? Thank you. But no one's out here. Nobody sees me. Oh, God does. God does. But it's okay, I'm late to church. God understands. Everybody does it. That's a tough one, isn't it, guys? Should I pay my taxes? Should I stop at the stop sign? This is a good one for me. It's like, well, it's kind of a rolling stop. You know, I stopped in my mind. Should I be honest? And, you know, if I notice that I didn't get charged for something at the store or the restaurant, go back in there and say, hey, you didn't charge me for this. You know how many times I've done that and the people looked at me like I was crazy? They're like, you mean you were in the parking lot and realized that, yeah, and you can't, what is wrong with you? You know, it was a couple weeks ago or something. I really had a hard time with this one. I was at Home Depot, and a worker there was pushing one of those little ladder things, and their little Home Depot phone fell onto the ground. And so I went over to her. I was like, hey, you dropped your phone there. And she kind of ignored me, so I said it a little louder. And she's like, yeah, I know. It's just a stupid work phone. Oh, that bugged me so bad. I think poor Jake and Brandon heard it all day from me. I was so irritated. And it's like, you know, do we have that attitude? It's like, you know what? That phone of the employer should have been treated as if it was yours. It's yours. These are the kind of attitudes that we need to have, guys, as Christians. We need to be different than the world. We need to be set apart. And yes, we're called to obey, even if we don't agree with them politically. Because we're supposed to be a representative unto God. How do you do with this? Do you try to do the right thing? Do you try to be honest? Do you try to, when you're working for your employer, act like you're working for you? Do you give them 8 hours for 8 hours pay? Do you treat those things as if they're yours? Do you treat this church as if it's yours? You should. That's your testimony to the world. And people are going to look at you and go, you're different. Why did you come back in here and say, hey, I didn't pay, you missed this thing. Or I noticed this didn't ring up, so I need to pay for it. You didn't charge me for that. Why are you doing that? Guess what that does? It opens the door for you to share. Versus you got the cross on, you got the I am a Christian t-shirt on, you got the bumper sticker on, and you're like, woohoo! They didn't charge me for that. I'm out of here. And they're like, yeah, that guy's a thief. He ain't no different than anybody else. Oh, and look, oh, he's a Christian too. Imagine that. The Bible says, owe no man anything but love. After this, he goes on, he says, be ready for every good work. Now, the ready in the Greek means be willing for every good work. And this, by the way, means be ready to go when something needs to happen. Hey, are you there to help out? So let your light shine before men when you do your good works, so that why? They may glorify God who is in heaven. Your good works are done to glorify God. You are the body of Christ. You are the representation, the physical body. When they look at you, they should be seeing Christ. Oh, that's a tall order, isn't it? And now we all understand that we fall short of that. But how are you living? Are you doing that? Striving for that? Am I trying to show good works? Am I willing and ready and available to be used by God? So important. Then he goes on, he says, speak evil of no one. Guys, this is where we get in trouble. It's often not this or these guys. It's this. And you really got to stop that. Did you hear about so-and-so? Or when I talk about somebody, you're like, oh, yeah. Did you hear about this person? Did you hear what they did? Did you hear what they said? That's slander. And we really got to be careful of that. It's better just to shut your mouth. Our mouth gets us in trouble so much. Right? And we're so excited about it. Hey, Dave, did you hear what so-and-so did? I can't believe they rolled through the stop sign. I saw them. Jason, I was driving. Dave was in front of me. Oh, my gosh. 65. It's so unprofitable. And what does it do, by the way? When you hear that about people, what do? Does it glorify God? You know, when we read Hebrews 11, what's called the Hall of Faith, it goes through a lot of the Old Testament saints, such as David. And we want to talk about David's sin with Bathsheba, don't we? We want to talk about how he failed. Why? Because it makes us feel better in our failure. Well, David did it. I'm okay too, you know. I mean, look at David. He did this. At least I didn't do that. But when you read Hebrews, none of those things are mentioned. You see, God doesn't hold us accountable for those. In fact, it says that he's taken our sin and he has washed it as far as the east is from the west. Now, if you're a flat earther, you have a problem with that because there you can go find the east and the west. So that's okay. You can believe in it if you want, but you know. I would rather believe that the earth is a circle, and if I start out east, I never get to west. I keep going. I can't find it. That's the point. Are you quick to forgive? Do you hold grudges? And do you talk about it? You see, us being Christ-like means that we are to look like Christ. And if Christ has forgiven us and doesn't hold us accountable for the things that we did and still holds us against us, then why are we doing it to our fellow man? Now, understand, there's wisdom if you're dealing with somebody who is abusing you or taking advantage of you. I am not saying to continue to let them do that. That's not what the Bible says. Right? There's wisdom in this of like, you know what? I forgive you for hitting me, but I'm going to stand back here. I'm going to stand out of range. You know? So there's wisdom in this, but I'm not holding them to that guilt of them hitting me, but I'm not going to get closer. Now you might say, well, isn't that holding them still accountable? No, there is a difference. If I give somebody money and they think that they're, you know, going to pay me back and they never do, I'm going to be like, okay, I forgive you of that, but I'm not going to probably give them money again. Right? You guys understand that? There's wisdom in that. But we have to be careful of speaking evil of no one. Now, do you see what it says? It doesn't say some people. It says no one. We have to be very careful of this. Oh, it's so hard. So hard. Even in the church. Well, I was just telling you this so you could pray for them. The best thing you can do is somebody starts saying that, just walk away. Because if you give ear to it, you're just as guilty. Did you know that? You're just as guilty. These are challenging things, guys. And that's why Paul doesn't start off with this to Timothy. Could you imagine if this was verse 1 of chapter 1? No, you see how he built up the example? He says you got to be founded in sound doctrine. We have to understand that that's what God does for us. And therefore, if we are Christ-like, we are to be Christ-like in our demonstration of what God has done for us to the world. You see, your life is a testimony. You don't tell the story. You need to live the story. And I'm going to tell you something. Yes, we all fall short of that. We all fall short of that. Don't sit there and go, oh, you think you've got it figured out, Phil. I've seen you roll through a few stop signs. I've seen you do this. I've heard you say this. Yeah, I have. Guilty. Shocker. I am S-I-N positive. Okay? But we all are. We all are. And we need to stand together in this. And I think it's good to know that we can be authentic with each other. And we can say, hey, I struggle with this too. But let's strive together. Let's strive together to seek out being better. And that's what it's all about. That's why the body is so important. And that's why, you know, there's edification back and forth. There's exhortation back and forth. There's teaching and righteousness back and forth. There's times where I go, hey, you need to fix that. And there's times you look at me and go, hey, you need to fix that. And we work it out. So please understand, I'm not speaking from a position like, hey, I'm perfect in this. But we all need to be in the pursuit of righteousness. We all need to be working this together. And you know what? We all need to be coaches to one another. We need to be coaches. So yesterday, me, Brandon, and Jacob went to the gun range. And I said, here, Jacob, record us. Right? And you know what? We were giving each other feedback, but then we were looking at ourselves. That's a fun one. Have you ever watched yourself? Have you ever listened to your own teaching? I mean, I just don't do it. But you see, when you do it, and you're like, oh, I see what I'm doing wrong. You see, everybody does what's right in their own eyes. But when we can be teachable and learn this stuff and look at this, look at our lives and go, I am doing that. Okay, I need to fix that. Guys, we need to do this. And you know what the mirror is? You know what the video recorder is in our lives? Right here. Right here. James tells us that. This is the mirror. Okay, so we got to get past this, you hurt my feelings stuff. And we got to recognize where we are to get better. And I think one of obeying authorities, it's a hard one for us Americans. Us rural Americans who strongly disagree with a certain donkey. Are we being Christ-like? What's the bigger picture, church? Leading people to Jesus? Speaking evil of people? Now, let's clean that up a little bit because, right, Bruce? Perfect example. You never see a teeter-totter like that, right? As soon as I say this, we go... And then I say something else. There's balance to this. So if somebody is like a false teacher, the Bible says to call them out. Understand that. Because we've had people have issue when we say, hey, this particular organization we believe is a false teacher. Oh, you're judging them. Yes, we are. And the Bible says, call them out. Okay? So when somebody is doing something evil, even if it is maybe a certain politician and they're doing something evil, yeah, we're to call that evilness out, okay? So I understand what I'm saying. There's a balance to this. And we have to figure that out. But the more you're in line with God spiritually, the easier this balance will become. When you start to get in the flesh and get out of the Word of God, the spirit becomes weak. And sometimes the flesh goes with the spirit. It's like a catapult. So we have to be careful with that. And so you can always tell where somebody's at spiritually, by the way, with their speaking out, with their anger, with their willingness to obey. It's their dashboard spiritually, their fuel tank. And usually, the more that stuff comes out, the more spiritually on E you're running. Right? So now, husbands and wives, when you're lashing out at each other, you know what you say? You need Jesus. I'm going to pray for you. Whew. That's throwing some rocks there. But maybe I need to hear that and go, maybe you're right. Maybe I need to set this flesh aside for a second. Because when I refuse to obey, when I start speaking evil, you know what that is? That's the flesh rising up in me. That's the flesh rising up. Be peaceable is the next thing. We want to strive to have peace. And if you notice, this kind of builds collectively. All right? It kind of builds. So if I don't have good obedience to the authorities that have been over me, if I'm speaking evil, I am not seeking peace. There's a way to speak and to call out evil and remain peaceable about it. And Jesus was a prime example of that. He called out things. But in our voice, okay, are we fighting? You see, being given to violence or fighters isn't always this. Did you know that? The main weapon you have is right here. Husbands and wives, how are you speaking to each other? I may not be given to violence with my hands, but I'm given to violence with my mouth. I'm looking to rumble. I'm looking to fight. I'm picking the fight. In my house, we call it flirting. But sometimes we want a war with our mouths. And it's just not right. We need to be gentle with one another. Meekness is power under control. Very important. If you've ever ridden a horse, you knew very well that horse could just throw you off and just stomp you in a second. But there's control with that power. And sometimes, folks, we've got to put the bridle in our own mouth. We've got to put the bit in there, right? Is that the correct term, Linda? The brown. Bite down on that. But yeah, if someone is warring with their mouth, they're not being peaceable. And we see this really, to be honest with you, a lot in the family dynamic. And we want to fight and war with our mouths. We're given to violence. We're given to kind of stirring the pot. Calling out everybody's issues. Well, you did this and you did that and you're always here and you're always this and you're always that. That's not being peaceable. That's not being gentle. That's not showing humility. Humility is knowing exactly who you are. You see, a lot of times humility you think is like, oh, I'm going to humble down. It's like not thinking too lowly of yourself, but also not thinking too highly of yourself as well. It's right here. Hey, look at that. We're getting better. A person who is always looking for a fight, looking for an argument. That's what brawling is. And brawling is the opposite of peaceable. I can't wait till they get home and give them a piece of my mind. Right? Brawling. Verbally. A person who walks around with a chip on their shoulder is a brawler. Looking for an argument. A person who is so stubborn and set in their thinking, and everybody else is wrong, even your spouse. You're always wrong. You're a brawler. A person who is always criticizing you, thinking about others and stirring up trouble, disturbing feelings, causing division. You are a brawler. How's this sitting with you today? Now, I want you to know, this isn't my words. Do you guys all have a Bible? Do you want to read it with me again? Let's do that. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready, willing, for every good work. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, to be gentle, showing all humility to all men. Did I write the Bible, guys? So this isn't thus saith Bill. This is thus saith the Lord. And so if you're struggling with any of these things this morning, work it out with God. Work it out with Him. Now, here's the thing. Paul says, and such were some of you. His grace and His mercies are new every single morning. And we need to keep this in mind. That maybe today I'm struggling with this. Maybe today what I said earlier was just that. I just played a movie of your life. Maybe I just played a movie of your last 24 hours. Maybe I just played a movie of your last conversation with your spouse. Maybe I just played a movie of you and somebody else in the workplace or in the public place. Or maybe I just played a movie of you driving. Nobody's looking. Guess who's got the camera, folks? Yep. But you just said He casts all my sins from the east as from the west, so He's having a hard time. I used to tell people, I have a photographic memory. I do. I just can't get the film developed. That joke doesn't really play anymore because, like, develop film. Yeah, there used to be these little huts in the parking lots and you'd drive up to them. Need a new joke. 1 John 1:9 says that if we are faithful to confess, if we confess, He is faithful, I should say, to forgive. So as Christians, we can still have this sin in our lives. And what does the sin do? It doesn't kick us out of heaven. It doesn't change our relationship with God and that we are saved. But it does hinder our relationship. And maybe you're here and you're like, you know what? My prayers aren't getting answered. There's no blessing in my life. there's all these problems in my life. Now, it doesn't say that if you live the perfect life, all these things are going to go away, because it doesn't say that, right? God doesn't say, hey, I've delivered you from hard times. In fact, the more closer I get to God, it seems like the harder times come, right? Okay? But we're called to do this. We're called to do this with one goal in mind, that when we stand before God, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your inheritance. It also boils down to what Jesus says. Do you love me? Do you love Jesus today? You love Jesus? Okay, I got two people. Craig, me and Craig. Craig, I'm with you, buddy. All right? You want me to ask again another opportunity? Do you love Jesus today? Yeah. Do you keep his commandments? Oh, we didn't raise our hand on that one, did we? It boils down to that simple question you need to ask yourself. Do I love God, or do I love this thing I'm about to do? The Bible's very clear that every single time a temptation comes before us, we have a way of escape. We can say no. We can turn. We can get out of there. You're to take that thought captive and ask yourself that question. Which one of these do I love? Do I want to continue down this path? Now, I know what you think. Sometimes those words get out before you realize it. Can I tell you something? That's not true. Because the Bible says, from the heart, the mouth does what? I know, the Bible also says the heart is abundantly wicked. Yes, amen. That's why you're given a new heart, not a restored heart. He says, I will give you a new heart, bara, created from nothing. Right? I'm not going to mend the heart. I can't fix it. It's evil. But the point is this, guys. If you're trying to tell yourselves that I can't control myself, then you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. If you're saying, oh, the devil made me do it. Nope. You did that all on your own. So where am I going with this? We've been called out on some difficult topics, haven't we? Obeying people, governments we don't agree with. Understanding to the point of, if it disobeys God, I'm not going to do it. All right, Craig, here we go. We're going to the other side now. Okay. Got to speak to everybody. Our words. Are we warring or are we bringing peace? See, a lot of times when people say read that section, when they brawling, they instantly think fighting. Now, not many of you guys here are fighters, yeah? Not many of you guys are going to, you know, throw punches. But everybody here will throw words. You know, in our gun stuff, we started changing a little bit as we kind of close. And we say, you know, we take this gun and we take it serious because life or death comes out of the end of this, yeah? Right? So we're careful, treating it as loaded. We don't want to point at anybody, knowing our target beyond, because that's some serious stuff, right? Everybody agrees with that, yeah? But you're walking around with a more powerful gun. This shoots more than bullets. This can do more damage than that little piece of lead. And this, by the way, is like a shotgun. Because I may be talking to that speaker, right? And Dave's hearing it. Jason's hearing it. Dave's hearing it. Wands is hearing it. I'm shooting bullets. Yeah? If the Lord's words don't return void, do you think yours do either? power in that. Are we gentle? Because God is gentle to us. Are we showing humility? The Bible says, esteem others higher than you. And yeah, this is hard. This is hard. This is hard. But we're called to do it because we love God. We do it in response because we love God. And why do we love God, church? Because He so loved you. Because we're guilty. And we continue to fall short. And He continues to forgive every day. His mercies are new every single morning. So as you're replaying that video in your mind with whatever you did, He still died for you. He still sees you as worthy to give His only begotten Son. If you were the only one here on this earth, realize He still would have died for you. You see, guys, we love to say, if God so loved the world, yes, that is true. But you know what? He so loved you. And sometimes, church, when we look at this, and sometimes we look at that and we go, man, I don't deserve anything. I probably broke all of these this morning. God's got endless video of me. And He still chose me. I don't get it. And I'll tell you something, the more you realize that, the greater His grace is. That was last week, right? His grace. The greater His grace is. But now I have a decision. Do I continue to walk down this path and go, yeah, He's got me? Or do I go, man, I really love God because of what He did for me. And now I'm going to make that choice to do what's right. He died for you. And as we close today, I really want you to get a hold of that. Because we can take this message and we can get all kind of beat up on this. Yeah? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I probably broke all of these just today. All of them. And even if I didn't physically do it, it probably happened in here. Yeah? I can't believe He still chose me. I can't believe it. That He stepped out of eternity when He could have just went, forget you, I'm starting over. He stepped out of eternity, came down, went to the cross, was willing to take every single sin that I committed yesterday, today, and tomorrow, by the way. He took every single one of those and said, hey, I got it. I'm going to pay the price for you. Remember, this is a debt that I cannot pay back. I deserve that cross. That cross was mine, waiting for me. And He said, no, get out of the way. I'm going to take your place. And I'm going to pay it in full. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You mean to tell me that I don't have to pay for those sins? Yeah. Jesus says, tetelestai. It is finished. And if you believe that today, He says you're saved. You now have entered into Hebrews chapter 11. Those sins from the east is from the west. The deepest part of the sea. And in the new heaven and the new earth, there is no sea, so you can't even fish it back up. Pretty cool. He did that for you. And so now, with that, we're going to end on a good note. We're going to take those things that we're guilty of, and we're going to say, Lord, forgive me. not because of what I've done. We shared this in the men's group. Sometimes we get hung up on our works. And it's like, gosh, I try to do this, and I fall down, and then I have a run of good time, and I do good, and I really do good, then I fall down. And I said, you know what the problem is you're looking at you. It's not about you. We don't like to hear that.
What do you mean it's not about me? I'm American. My mom said it was all about me.
It's about him. It's about him. And so he died for you. And that's how we're going to end this service. Taking all this stuff that we're guilty of, giving it to the Lord, remembering what he did for us. Lord, we thank you for your word, because this is going to be hard, because when we read through something like this, Lord, yeah, we're all guilty. There's none righteous, no, not one. For we all have fallen short of the glory of God. But yet, while we're enemies, while we're still doing this, you still choose us. And you died for us. Lord, I believe 2,000 years ago, you stepped out of eternity, knowing what I was going to do today, knowing what I was going to do tomorrow. And you said, I still am going to die for you. And you came down here. You were examined before the priests. You were placed upon the cross. I believe that happened. I ask for your forgiveness. I confess my sins to you right now. I believe that you paid the price on my behalf and you died there. Was placed in the tomb. And I believe third day you rose again. And I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Lord, now fill me with your Spirit to help me exemplify that. To be the example to the world of what you just did for me in my life. Because I believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Lord, as temptation comes my way, let that be always in my mind. Which one do I love better right now? I've got a point to prove to my spouse. I've got this to prove. I deserve this. Stop. Is it about me? Or is it about you? Let me show this person you through my actions. And I choose you, Lord. I choose you. As we close today, we say, I choose you. In Jesus' name, amen.